Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, January 18th, 2019, and we are reading from the Big Book. We are in the Doctor's Opinion on page XXIX. And we will be reading the last paragraph on the page and the first paragraph on the next page, beginning, "I do not hold with those who believe." Let's see. Today's readers are Mariana D. on the 12 Steps, Cecilia H. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Julie E. B., Pia S., and Jordan L. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, January 17th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,433. That's 12433. And this morning's meeting, January 18th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 12,436, or 12436. And our newcomer greeter today is Gina R. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience and strength and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mariana D. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, this is Mariana in Oregon. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you very much, Mariana D. And Cecilia H., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Good morning. This is Cecilia H. from Pittsburgh. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for the opportunity to be of service.
Thank you, Cecilia H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. Excuse me. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study on page XXIX in the doctor's opinion, the last paragraph on the page. And I will ask Julie E.B. to get us started.
Good morning. This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered by the grace of God, one day at a time, here in Colorado, 40 degrees, but blessings to those who are at the L.A. birthday party. I am... can't believe how long I thought if I just tried harder, if I just tried more, that this was a disease of mental control. Mental control was part of my disease. I could be a restrictor and I could wow those in diet programs.
Julie, are you going to read first?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. I do not, from the doctor's opinion, the book itself. I do not hold with those that believe alcoholism is merely a problem of mental control. I've had many men who had, for example, worked a period of months on some problem or business deal, which was settled on a certain date favorably to them. They took a drink a day or so prior to this date, then the phenomenon of craving at once became paramount to all other interests, so that the important appointment was not met. These men were not drinking to escape. They were drinking to overcome a craving beyond their mental control. There are many situations which arise out of the phenomenon craving which cause men to make the supreme sacrifice rather than continue to fight. I am Julie, a compulsive overeater, recovered one day at a time here in Colorado. And I thought it was a problem of mental control, I thought I could shame myself, that I could scare myself, that I could stew in my anxiety and blame others, that I could, as the book says, that I could continue on page 25 as best I could, blotting out my intolerable situation, my consciousness of my intolerable situation. I applied all my mental control to pushing down all those emotions in the food or in the diet or in the restriction or in anything else I was doing. And I thought through sheer mental control I could get through this. But instead I found something different. And I didn't have to have a bad thing going on. You know, I do a 10-step when I feel excitement, when I feel a particular thrill. Because for me, those extremes of emotion, they're both dangerous for me. I had a great day. What should I do? What did I celebrate with? I celebrated with food. I taught my kids to celebrate with food. So my mental craving could be triggered in good times or in bad. Did I reach a point of the feeling like the supreme sacrifice? Yes. I felt I was no good to anyone and did consider suicide. And I know for there's people on the line today that are suffering. There's people on the line today celebrating that have gathered together for the OA birthday party. But there are also people on the line who might be at the birthday party or elsewhere, going into the bathroom or going home and just feeding that craving and not knowing what to do. Here's what I did. I found out I was not alone. And when I walked in those rooms, I was not alone. You might not have the God thing figured out. You might get freaked out when people talk about higher power. Well, there's a whole gang that's at the beach this morning. And I've worked these 12 steps with someone who didn't want to figure out the whole God thing due to so much wounding and scaring. And so she used the ocean, the beach, as her higher power. And she understood that there was life bigger than her. She used to thought it just hit her like a wave out of nowhere. But she came to understand it cradled her. And when she was tired, someone else would come alongside her and hold her up. That's what you guys have done for me. And that's what I hope to do in service to you, to hold you up, to cradle you, to support you. There are still suffering compulsive overeaters on the line today. Reach out. You are not alone. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Okay, I'd like to take names of people who would like to share one at a time, if possible, please.
Reggie O.
Okay, I
Terry
heard Reggie O. and Terry S. I didn't hear the
Patty D.
Kathy G.
Patty D.
Okay, Kathy G., Patty B.,
Jackie H.
Jackie H.
Pam T.
Pam T. Let's stop there. Yes. And here's who I have. Reggie O., Terry S., Kathy G., Patty B., Jackie H., and Pam T. Okay, please get us started, Reggie.
Hey, thanks so much, Kathy, for your service. Everybody on the phone this morning, this is Reggie O., very gratefully here in the Los Angeles area. And I get the privilege of joining the OA LA birthday party later this morning and to also be on the phone with you before I head in. And that is such a blessing. And it makes me think about, you know, I think about this paragraph in that context of we, because it is the what is in this paragraph is what brought me to the vision line. And that was my professional life had been greatly impacted by this disease. And I had this wonderful opportunity for the end of September of 2016, professional opportunity. And I knew that I could blow it because I could take a bite a day or so prior to that date. I'd had a lot of experience in doing that before, and I was really frightened, and I wasn't going to OA at that time. And I also knew that if the obsession came, I was done for, that I had no mental control over it. I had learned that and remembered it to some degree. And I remembered vision. You know, I remembered I'd heard about the vision line, but it was only at 4 o'clock in the morning for me, you know, so I thought I can't get up that early. 5 o'clock's cool, 4 o'clock's not. And I listened to a recording. It was fabulous. I decided to listen to recordings every day. And then in a week, I started waking up naturally at 4:15 and I got the message. But, you know, I did get to have that professional opportunity and I was abstinent and sober and it was a wonderful experience. But, you know, it could have been completely otherwise. And I, as I am here with you all, you know, this morning and the people that I'll be seeing later, I realize how this is such a we program, you know. I mean, in every respect, a we program, and I include God in that, you know. It's like me, God, and all of you. And, it, you know, it takes all of you and other people to help me stay on that path. I realized at one point, some time ago, I think God gave me this addiction so that I wouldn't try to go it alone and that I would get involved with other people, because my tendency is certainly to isolate. And I don't have to do that, you know, one day at a time. And I don't have to have that mental obsession, which, you know, would lead me to pick up the bite and then have that wild, amazing phenomenon of craving take over that does become bigger than anything else. And then, you know, then there's the suffering afterwards. And just so grateful today and grateful to be here with all of you and in the we here. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Reggie. Terry S., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. This is Carrie S. on the beach. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks.
Just feel so blessed to be recovered today and amongst such beautiful family members here. Thank you, God, for this program. And thank you, God, for the willingness that I am not sacrificing my life anymore for this disease, and that today I can show up and be of service, be of maximum service to God and to my fellows. And I'm going to leave a lot of time on the clock. I just want to really show up and be available to anybody that still suffers, because this disease is, it takes our lives, and not willing to do that anymore. I'm just grateful to be alive and be recovered without a test.
Thanks very much, Terry. Yes. Kathy G., please share with us.
Thanks so much, Kathy. Thanks for your service. And I'm sending a big group hug out to the beach in California. I'm so with you in spirit. And I love all of you. Wish I were there, but I'm looking forward to the snowstorm. Actually, seriously, I am. I love the snow in Chicago. But Kathy G., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Illinois. And I am just thrilled to be here today. And I'm thrilled that I am not in the craving today. I was talking with a friend in the program this morning, and we were saying that, you know, as the recovery goes by and, you know, passes a year and it keeps going, we're just so in awe that we are not overwhelmed by that phenomenon of craving today that becomes paramount to all else. And I was thinking back, and it was in 1990 that God took the bulimia from me, and it was going to take me out. And I remembered the other day, that's when I let go of smoking too. And I wanted to say to the newcomers today that if you are struggling in the craving, in the addiction, whatever your addiction is, that I remember with each thing I laid down on my journey of recovery, thinking, I cannot imagine living without this thing in my life, whether it was cigarettes, M&Ms, Diet Coke, you know, whatever it was that I felt called to lay down so that I could make room for God to come in and release his power in me, which is what really happens. I just really couldn't imagine living without it. And now it amazes me that I am telling you the truth when I say to you that I cannot imagine having those things in my life today.
because the joy and the life force that I have experienced as a result of being able to lay them down because of working the steps as written in this book and because of the community that we all have and that I was drawn into on the vision line, it's radically altered my life. And it's available for you today. So we're here, whether we're on the beach or in the snow, we're all over the country, we're around the world. So give us a call so that you too can take a dive in. So love to all of you. Hope you have a great day, and I pass.
Thank you, Kathy G. Addie B., please share with us.
Hi, this is Patty D. From outside Charlotte, North Carolina. Recovered compulsive overeater, very grateful. And I'm actually in the grocery store today, so I'm sorry if there's any background noise here. I'm sharing because I was encouraged by my sponsors to get back into sharing because I was having kind of a rough week the past 2 weeks, just feeling kind of blah. Still recovered, still abstinent, but I think I was just, I don't know, just not really working my program as hard as I could be. And this particular passage about talking about it's more than just the mental issue is really speaks to me because I always prided myself on being mentally strong, having great self-control, having being able to do whatever was asked of me and being able to diet and being able to exercise when I had to and all that other nonsense. And it wasn't until I was brought to my knees by this disease and realized I could look in the mirror and not recognize myself and came to see through the program that I couldn't control this and it was much more than that, that it was something deep in my body that was wrong, and it was a disease. And I'm so grateful that I found that out thanks to this program and the doctor's opinion and realizing there were substances that I just couldn't handle. And now I can go in the grocery market and I can go past them and not be drawn to them, which is really a miracle because of this program. My sponsor told me that would happen. And I remember when she did, I didn't believe it would be true, but it is. I can walk past those things, and I don't even notice them. And that is so true. So thank you to God and to this program. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Patty D. Jackie H., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. Thank you for your service, and so great to be here today. It seems like the past week or so, all the readings and the messages that I've been hearing has just taken me way back to my childhood, back to when I was so very sick in my disease, and I didn't want to remember all that time. I didn't want to even think that was me, but I remember. I'm remembering more and more lately, and I see how sick I was, what a sick little child I was, and some of the ways that I did make the supreme sacrifice was isolating, because I'd rather eat than going out with my friends. My friends would go out to eat pizza. Well, I didn't want to go with them. I'd stay home and binge and purge on my other stuff. And as the years went by, my disease took on different colors, and I'm a very intelligent woman, and I have strong willpower, and I can tell you this has nothing to do with willpower. And I'm so grateful that I came in 6 months ago and was given the gift of knowing that I am not flawed. I am absolutely not flawed. I am a beautiful spiritual child of God. But I have this body here that is allergic to so many of these foods, right? And so to put them down today, somebody said earlier how nice it is to go through a day without craving. And oh my goodness, what a wonderful life that it is. Today, I show up. I get to show up for life. I get to show up for my husband and my friends and my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. And as somebody said earlier, each time we put down something that is our idol, something that is our God, and I've had several. I've had alcohol and cigarettes and then food was the beginning, right? Every time I put that down, another part of me wakes up and I become more present and I become more alive. And so I am just very, very grateful for today. Thank you all for being here. I love you and have a wonderful day. I'll pass.
Interesting. I'm sorry, I was muted. Thank you, Jackie H. Pam T., please share with us.
What happened?
Hello? Hello?
Good, thank you. Hi. Hello, this is Pam T. in Los Angeles. I'm grateful compulsive overeater, and I'm very inspired. I decided to get in this lineup because I heard about the oceans. I think the first person, Julie, talked about the ocean, and it reminded me 40 years ago when I came into the program, I was so upset to learn the truth of my condition and that I would have to depend on God or a higher power because I thought that would be impossible. Somebody suggested, because I live by the ocean, that I look at the waves and do I have the power to stop the waves? And I thought, that's pretty stupid. What does that have anything to do with my rampant compulsive overeating? And like so many of us, that was just the start. I just needed a start of the truth and a start of being in a fellowship where people will support me where I am. And I feel very fortunate to be part of this group. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Pam T. Okay, I will take some more names. Who else would like to share?
Ross M.
Ross M.
Marlene O.
I'm sorry.
Virginia C.
Was that
Virginia W?
Virginia C.
Cynthia C.
Donna W.
Donna W.
Jill.
Kathleen.
Jill, what was your last initial, Jill?
B.
B. And did I hear a Kathy there or not?
Yes, it's Kathy C, as in Kathy.
You heard Kathleen O?
And Kathleen O, okay. So let me tell you who I have. I think I may have missed somebody. Ross M. Is it Virginia C or Ginger C? Or neither? Okay, I guess neither. Donna W., Jill C., Kathy C., and Kathleen O. Did I miss someone? Okay, we'll go with these.
Cynthia C.
Ross M., please go ahead.
Good morning. Ross M., I'm a compulsive over here outside of Philly, but on the beach in L.A. today. I'm a well of emotions right this second. 2 years ago, I was dying. 2 years ago, I was going to lose everything. And now I'm stepping back. I'm on a beach in L.A. And I look at these people that have lifted me up and told me I'm okay, I'm worth it, and that God still loves me, and that I have a chance for all the failures, all the things I fell short on in life. How this disease robbed me of everything that I would be. I got a chance. You know, I got a chance. A little too much for me today. You know, the water is my happy place. And I'm here in peace and joy and love and serenity with people that really have helped me, you know, and showed me God. And I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful. Never in my wildest dreams would I think I'd be here. Just in life. It's incredible. It's incredible. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. We all got a shot. Love you, sir. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Ross. Donna W., please share with us.
Hi, Donna W., calling from Palo Alto, California, and I'm getting all packed up to head down to L.A. this morning, so can't wait to see you all. And I'm just so grateful to be abstinent and recovered for today and to have a chance and to just really lean into my higher power because, as others have shared, you know, I can eat to get rid of, you know, my negative emotions. But, I grew up eating for anything, celebrations, anything. So for me, the food is the first thing that I think of to turn to. So I'm working really hard to retrain my brain to turn to you and to higher power. And as others have shared, you know, I was raised to be a strong self, reliant, independent, capable woman. And so it's taken a lot of retraining to really let go and let God and to pause and to, you know, ask for direction and guidance. It's so simple, you know, as the doctor says, all we have to do is follow these simple rules, but to retrain my brain, that's a hard one. So just for today, willing to let go, let God, and I'm looking forward to immersing myself in program this weekend and learning. It's just so amazing to be on a journey of learning together. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna W. And Jill C., please share with us.
Hi, I'm Jill, compulsive overeater. And grateful to be on the call today and getting so much from everyone sharing. I have tried to do this program for 35 years with no luck, and everything seems to have changed. I'm getting to phone meetings. I'm talking with a sponsor. I'm abstinent today, thank God. And it's like the horizon has opened up for me. After all this time, everything is making sense to me. I have traded everything in my life for food, and I don't want to do that anymore. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Jill C., and do keep coming back.
Thank you.
Kathy C., please share with us. Press star one.
Hi, how are you? This is Kathy C. In Los Angeles. Now it's a birthday party. I just live here. And I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm grateful for this reading today. It's also been my experience that I don't have any chance of controlling. That the first bite for me triggers the obsession of the mind and leads me down a path of insanity. Doesn't mean that I don't try it. But really grateful to be finishing my second week of a 90 and 90 in OA, and it's been extraordinarily helpful to me in relieving the obsession of the mind. I came pretty close to relapsing a few weeks ago because I wasn't going to enough meetings and I was eating compulsively and putting my abstinence at risk, and I got the suggestion to do more meetings, and that definitely is the solution for me. And if I'm not connected to OA and using all of the tools, then the solution to feeling the solution to all of my life's problems looks like more food, and that's just not true. I can't fill a God-sized hole with anything other than God. And as an addict and a compulsive overeater, my mind tells me that this is possible when I'm not spiritually fit. And so I'm just really grateful on this Friday to not feel with any ounce of my body that more food is the answer to any of my problems. And that's a miracle because it was from birth. So thanks to everyone for this meeting, and I wish everyone a happy Friday.
Thank you, Kathy C. Kathleen O., please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning. Good morning, everyone on the line and everyone at the beach. Wish I was there with you. And I apologize. I thought you heard me, and I'm glad you said my name, but I think maybe you were hearing Kat. Seems like maybe I spoke over her, so I apologize for that. So I'm going to keep this short because it sounds like a lot of people want to share on these. This craving causes men to make the supreme sacrifice rather... Oh, wait, that's not the right one. Sorry. These men were not drinking to escape. They were drinking to overcome a craving beyond their mental control. And, you know, I feel like the addicts can be very disciplined and have a lot of mental control. But the problem is, you know, we can't do this with just the mental control. I mean, trust me, I've tried it. I know most of you on the line have tried it over and over again. And if it was just the mental control, diets would work. And so, you know, if we have the obsession of the mind, we're always going to go back to the allergy. And if we have the allergy, we're always going to binge. So there is a solution in these pages. And the good news is, and I heard this on the line yesterday, I've probably heard it before, but yesterday for some reason I actually heard it and remembered it, that, you know, prior to this program, it was an I program. You know, I was always trying to do this. I was always trying to fight this on my own. And it didn't work. And I illness. But this is a we program. We're all here to help each other. We're all, you know, we do this together. We walk this path together. We trudge it. And it's wonderful. And so the we is wellness. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Kathy.
Thanks, Kathleen. Oh, okay. I'm going to take three or four more names. And I want to check, was Mo H trying to get in?
No.
Do Al?
Yes, I was.
Okay, Mo H, Sue L, is that who the other?
Do Al.
Oh, Do, okay, sorry, Do. And was Kat trying to get in? Okay, I have Mo H and Do L. I'll take one more for now.
Karen R.
Okay, great. And if we have more time, I'll get another name. Okay, Mo H, please get started.
Well, good morning, everyone, and all of those at the birthday party and any newcomers on the line. This is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater in Northern California. Thank you, Kathy, for your service. Well, these are two powerful paragraphs, as with anything in the doctor's opinion is powerful. I did never realize that I had this phenomenon of craving after I took that bite, and I didn't even realize I had the mental obsession from early on. Even when I got in the rooms, I don't think I got it. I'm just recently getting it when my sponsor about 3 years ago started taking me through this book and explaining everything to me, because once I put that food in my mouth, and what makes me put that food in my mouth is the thoughts that go before that. I start dreaming or thinking or smelling or seeing something, and then it goes on and on and on. And if I don't do a 10th step about that thought, I am going to eat. And an example of it was my husband was out of town. I was in the kitchen. The cookies in the closet were calling me. They were my husband's. And I made outreach calls, and everybody said, you know, don't do it, get out of the house, do this, do that. And I eventually caved. And it was that mental thought, gave in to the cave of the cookies, and I was off and running and couldn't stop. And that was the supreme sacrifice. I gave up my abstinence for that. And, you know, the total supreme sacrifice is, you know, losing a marriage. I didn't lose a marriage, but people have over this disease. But mostly the worst is losing your life. So I guess that's all I have to say today. Thanks for picking me up, Kathy, and have a great day. Take care.
Thank you, Mo H., for your share. And do L., please share with us.
Okay, so you that's in like 3 minutes. Good morning. Do recover compulsive overeater from New York. I'm here at the beautiful Los Angeles, California, on the beach with my OA friends, and I'm grateful. I just want to say for the newcomers and for people that are trying to get this program, it's not about the willpower and the determination, the self, you know, the self-reliance, because we all have that. And I'm the most self-willed, self-determined, self-everything to do everything that I can. But when it comes to the food, there's another factor involved that people skip. That is, I have physical allergy. And I can't just, like, you know, think that I'm just going to eat everything and you know, there's certain key food ingredients that I need to look at to put down first in order to work this program. And if I don't look at that honestly, you know, I'm not going to get this. I'm going to continue the insanity of eating compulsively all the time if I don't address that first part. And that's what this is saying, that is a physical component that needs to be addressed. And if I'm not honest and if I'm not willing to put those key food ingredients down, then yes, I will overeat on everything, right? Because I'm mixing my binge foods with my safe foods, and that's not going to work. You know, so this program helps me to identify those key food ingredients and help me also to see that it's not about my self-will, self-determination, self-reliance, because that doesn't work when it comes to, you know, the food. It has to be more than that, right? It has to be an action taken first on my part to be willing to do the rest of the work, which is the mental, right? But that doesn't come till later. First, I need to do the first part, which is put down those foods that are killing me. And, you know, if I'm honest enough, just to close it up, if I'm honest enough, I know what those key foods are, right? Because those are the foods that are going to keep me going and repeating the cycle of insanity all the time, right? It's the foods that I can't stop, you know? So that's the first step. So any newcomers that are out there, start with that. Start with that and see where God will lead you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Drew L., and we're sending hugs to everybody on the beach. Karen R., please share with us.
Hi, this is Karen R., compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic in North Carolina. I am just feeling so much gratitude that I'm cheering along with those people. And I just wanted to share the gratitude I have that I am no longer living with craving, that unbearable craving, that horrible, insatiable river underflowing everything in my life, just wanting something more, the disease of more. So elusive at times that I didn't know it was there. I was just very unhappy, always thinking, what else can I do, eat, drink, drug? I mean, it was always trying to fill that empty hole on the inside of me, which is no longer there. It is filled with God. It is filled with a higher power, a spirituality that brings joy, peace, forgiveness, lightness of heart, and having a fellowship, having all these people cheering and having so many people out there is just amazing. You're never alone. You don't have to be alone anymore. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful this morning. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Karen R. We have time for two more shares. Who would like to share?
Patty T.
Patty T.
I'll share. Sherry D.
Sherry D. Thank you both. Okay, Patty, go ahead.
Oh, hi, everybody. This is Patty T. from Southern California, and recovered today by the grace of God. This paragraph talks about, you know, the phenomenon of craving, and I just had this experience. Since I've waked up in this recovery and in my abstinence, I'm becoming more and more aware, of course, of issues that I have with certain foods. And I'm really calling people and talking about entire abstinence and what that is and what that has to be for me, you know, in my program. And last night, or yesterday, one of the attorneys I worked for gave me a belated holiday gift, which was a glass of wine, a glass of red wine. And I never considered red wine as an issue, but I'm not very much of a drinker. I come from an alcoholic family, so I don't drink often, maybe rarely. But last night, I decided to have a glass of this wine. I probably had 4 to 5 ounces. And, you know, I kept thinking about having another glass, like, for the rest of the night. And I kind of had to white knuckle it, and then I started praying, and then the thought came to me, go to bed. So this morning, and I did. And so this morning, I poured the rest of the wine out after I texted my sponsor to say, you know what, I've conceded to my innermost self that this belongs in my sugar category, because it kept playing with me, and it was that. It was absolutely, without doubt, the clarity of my mind that it was that phenomenon of craving. I'm so grateful today for this fellowship, for this program, for this organization, and to build W. Dr. Bob, and particularly Dr. Silkworth. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Patty D. And Sherry D., why don't you take this last share?
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. This is Sherry D. calling from Los Angeles, and I am not at the birthday party, but it sounds like they're having a good time there. And I just wanted to speak. I normally just listen into the messages and to the live call, but I am so filled with gratitude this morning, and it just brings tears to my eyes of how I found this Vision for You program, having been in program for many, many years. And I had thought that I was choosing to put certain foods into my body and making that conscious choice and not getting the fact that actually some of the ingredients were causing me to have the phenomenon of craving. And I, like I said, have been in program many, many years, celebrating 6 years of no refined sugar. I thought that was my abstinence, and I wasn't getting the whole picture of it, and I didn't have freedom. And that's what I had been struggling with for the past, 8 years in Overeaters Anonymous. And even though I've been maintaining a certain weight loss, I'm not free. And now I feel free. And yesterday I had to come home. This is just an example of something. And like I said, I've only been doing A Vision for You for maybe 2 months now. I'm just getting ready to do my step 3 next week. And I have the most amazing step guide. And every time I talk to her, I cry on the phone because I feel like God is speaking through her to me. And I'm having so many different spiritual experiences. And I was home yesterday sick and having to watch for the rains or the mudslides. And I,
you know, the thought of going in the cupboard and getting a snack or something while I was resting and eating TV didn't even dawn on me. I mean, I had my three abstinent meals and nothing in between, and it was a non-issue, and I was in awe at the end of the day. I couldn't believe that I would have that experience, because before I would just be telling myself that I was choosing to have something while I was watching TV, and it just wasn't an option. So the freedom that I have in such a short time, and if you're new on the phone and you're struggling, just stick with it, because we don't leave before the miracle is all I want to share, because this program is nothing short of a miracle, and this big book is coming alive for me, even though I've read it and done the steps many, many, many times, like 12 times, and done big book studies. It's speaking to me now in a way that I never did. I never correlated the food the way I am now, coming from the other program. So I just wanted to share my gratitude, and with that, I will pass, and I hope everyone has a beautiful, abstinent day.
Thank you very much, Sherry D., and thank you to everyone who has shared and listened today. We will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, and follow that with the Serenity Prayer. P.S., would you please read A Vision for You?
Yes, thank you, Kathy. This is P.S., recovered compulsive overeater in Parkland, Florida. And also, I want to say good morning to all of my friends at the OA birthday party. I am with you in spirit. And so here it goes. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.